Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and those who are not sure, this is your lucky day.
You've discovered VASTA's Advanced Technology Show, hosted by Stephen Strait, Internet Personality and Marketing Specialist.
This is practical. How to advise. Not just theory or opinion.
In this program, VASPs will reveal web content, search engine optimization, and social marketing secrets you have never heard before. He will also interview leading experts on a variety of technology topics.
And now, Stephen Strait. VASPers the Great.
Yes, that would be me, Stephen Strait. Hello, I hope everyone's in a good mood today and had a successful day today. It is Thursday, June 4th. 2015, and today's topic is the biggest mistakes small businesses make. We're going to get right into the meat, like we always do, on the VASPers SEO and Advanced Technology Show, and welcome to it tonight. Well, what are some of the biggest mistakes small businesses make? First of all, the first mistake they make is they don't want to learn about the mistakes that they make. They don't want to learn about mistakes other small businesses make. They don't want to look at the mistakes they're making. They really want to think everything's fine and somehow or other magically the economy will turn around and effortlessly they'll be able to make sales and the products will go flying off the shelves again like they did in some mythical era in the past. A failure to be receptive to what's really going on with the cancers that are eating the business from the inside. So that was the first mistake, failure to even be receptive to learning about what the CEO, boss, manager, or store owner, what they're doing wrong. They like to blame it on lots of other things, the business failure. But the first place to start is at the top, as you start at the top and then work your way down. Second thing that is a big small business mistake would be a failure to notice the competition and observe what they're doing. A failure to compare themselves to the leading competitor in their market or in their local territory. Just ignoring it, like, well, we don't do things like that. That's special. They've got blah 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 going on, and it's just not relevant to what we're doing. I say that's a bunch of bull. You must pay attention to what your competitors are doing, and even colleagues that are not really direct competitors, but are, let's say, you're in retail. Well, then you have a colleague who's also in retail. Your audiences, your markets don't really overlap much. You're not competitive. You're selling one thing and they're selling something entirely different to an entirely different market. Even then, notice what they're doing. If they're the leader, if they're the number one go-to person or company for a given item in a certain field, and they're just leading and they're just doing fantastic and they're opening new locations and new stores and so forth, pay attention. What are they doing right? They must be doing something that you're not doing. You're not opening any new stores. In fact, you're afraid you might have to close the one store you do have. So the guy that's opening a new store almost every year, what's going on? How can he do that? And don't just say, well, his dad's funding him or this or that. That might be so, but there's got to be more to it. Notice what they're doing that might be something that you should do. Maybe not exactly the way they do it, but pay attention to your competition and to your non-competitive colleagues who are in the same, they're a business just like you're a business. A third thing that is a big mistake that small businesses make, and that would be failure to assess the real needs of customers, failure to really carve out a niche for yourself. Let's say you got donuts and you want to sell donuts. You want to make your own donuts and sell, or cupcakes. That's a big trendy thing right now. You got a special kind of cupcake, you know, and so you want to, you love your cupcakes and your family and your neighbors love your cupcakes or your donuts. And so you want to start up, you know, your own business doing that. Just because a few people who don't want to hurt your feelings, so they tell you they like it, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, sure, they say they like it, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's not enough marketing research to do, just a handful of people. I've known people that have done that. They've started a business just on a handful of people that were kind of compelled to necessarily praise their product. That's not a good way. That's not a good business model. That's not a good thing to do. You need to not think, oh, I make such great blah, blah, blah. You've got to think, what is it that customers who like blah, 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 what is it that they're not getting? What kind of need can I fulfill? Maybe there's no gluten-free cupcakes, and I could start a gluten-free cupcake. It is nothing but gluten-free, or a special diet. Have cupcakes that have nothing, never been near any kind of tree nuts, or whatever kind of dietary, you know, diabetic-type cupcakes, and gluten-free cupcakes, and non-GMO, and organic cupcake. Maybe you have specialty as far as diet specialties, but you've got to have something. You can't just be another cupcake or another donut shop. There's too many. There's too many coffee shops. There's too many donut shops. There's too much of everything, you know, practically. So that's the third one, failing to assess the real needs of customers, just charging gung-ho like a bull in a china shop with, I've got an idea. Well, does anybody care about it? Will people really pay for this, the amount that you want them to pay? Or they just being nice and saying they like it and, you know, just to be nice to you, but that, you know, that's not good enough. Okay, number four, overspending on TV commercials. That's a big one. Overspending. Having a local TV news media organization create TV commercials for you. Number one, don't rely on their marketing expertise because they don't really necessarily have much. They have an expertise in selling TV spots to businesses. Whether they have any expertise in advertising or marketing remains to be seen. Some do and some don't. I've seen local TV commercials that were just brilliant, but I think it's the CEO, the company itself, that's smart. And then I've seen other TV commercials on the same TV network channel station that are horrible. So why did the local TV news station let them get away with such a terrible TV? You know, what happened there? So a lot of times they overspend. They've got the old-fashioned idea that, well, we'll start with some TV commercials and then some radio commercials. If we have any money left over, we'll run some print ads and some local magazines or newspapers. And then if we've got just a few pennies left, if we can just scrape really hard, we might eke out a little tiny pittance, some pin money for social media, SEO, web content, beefing up our website. Overspending on television commercials and not have, and that, especially if they're not very effective, they really don't do anything for you at all. In fact, people are finding them confusing, and they didn't. What's wrong with your TV commercials? I didn't really understand what the deal was. It's just some music and people smiling, but I got no benefit. I got no USP, no unique selling proposition. I got nothing on how to differentiate you. That's number five. Number five is not differentiating the small business from other competitive small businesses. We sell widgets, and then somebody else says, we do too, and then somebody else says, so do we. How do you differentiate yourself from your competitors, from the people that are selling exactly or similar products or services? What makes you different? What can you say? I don't know why this is so hard for so many small businesses to understand. Maybe that's why they're small. You have to have some clear, powerful, compelling, something that people care about, thing that differentiates you from your competitors. So without differentiation, why should somebody go to your store or office? Why should they go to you? If you can't come up with something very special that your competitors cannot say, or that they could say but they're not saying, so you're going to, you know, jump on that and be the first to shout about it, and so they won't be able to shout about it. That's another thing. There's certain products, what they call parity products, where one beer is almost exactly like another beer, or one cola is very similar to another cola. There's not a whole lot of difference, but they'll be the first to make a certain claim that all of them could make, but no one has made it yet. I believe Lucky Strike Cigarettes said it's toasted. That was their slogan. It's toasted, but I think that all tobacco was toasted. I think I've got that right, but that's an example, and there are many examples where a parody product, something that there's really not a whole lot of difference between one brand and the other brand. There is some, and there's brand loyalty, but it's based on a lot of fluff and a lot of feel-good advertising. There's not a whole lot that's really super special and different. But you gotta, if you can't find that, then find out something that you can, that everybody could say, but nobody said it yet about their product, and you can find something and make it seem like you're the pioneer. I mean, you don't want to lie or deceive, but you can be like the first, not to necessarily do it, but the first to say it, to make the claim and make a great big deal out of it. Number six, the sixth big mistake that small businesses make is, again, this is very common, being impersonal, aloof, cold, generic. Having really no perceived concern about customers as living, warm, fuzzy human beings. Are customers just wallets that open up? Are customers just creatures who come in and you sell them stuff and then they walk away and the cash register rings and sings? The old-fashioned idea was, you know, here's what we got, how much do you want today? There was no real concern of connecting with customers on their point of view, on their need basis. This brings me into the next one, a we-oriented website. So you're impersonal, aloof, cold, and generic. There's no human face behind your company. It's just a brand, it's just a company name or a store title. There's no personal representative, which should be the CEO or the owner or the founder. But you don't have a passionate, zealous person who is the face of your company. We have one in town, I'm just going to mention it by name, and that is Sherman. Sherman's is run by Paul Sherman, and he's always up there in commercials. Sometimes it's just him in a commercial and nothing around him. He's just talking, and he's talking about how frustrating it is for customers when you go to buy a new mattress, for example, and there's hundreds of mattresses. You have no idea what he's supposed to lay on every one of them. And you know, he connects with the frustrations and complaints and experiences of customers. He starts there. He doesn't start with, hey, we got all these great products, come and get some. No, he says, hey, I know what you're going through. I know how you hate to shop for mattresses. We sell them, and we're going to make it a lot more fun and quicker and more effective, and so you won't hate it. So too many businesses start with what they've got, and then they try to pressure and bully people into buying it. They're trying to sell it to you. They're trying to use sales techniques. You won't need sales techniques as much as you think you do once you start using customer techniques. When you really forget about your products, look, what's wrong with that customer? What's their need? What's the hole in their life? What's the rut that they fall into? What's their problem? What's their frustration? How do they talk about it? If you don't know how a typical customer talks about their problem, you don't know the customer, so why should they care about your stupid products? See? You've got to, not that your products are stupid, but we are stupid if we just want to push product, gotta find a market, gotta have a better list, gotta focus, gotta do this. Why don't you look at what are these customers, what are they complaining and griping, what are their grievances? Start from that. Say, hey, I know what you go through every time you try to blah, do this or that, blah, blah, blah thing. So here's a really good idea. Have your website, start there. Have that being customer-centric, customer-oriented. Instead of we have this and we and our staff is highly trained and eager to serve you and we did this and we do that and we have this and look at our this and look at our that. Our stuff is so good. No. Talk, start. When you talk, you start with where the customer is at and the problem, and then eventually get around to your product as the solution. The next thing is poor customer service. Everybody talks about it. Everybody complains about it. Not much gets done about it. All kinds of management techniques and seminars and CDs and gurus, and yet customer service remains terrible in most places. And that is so easy to fix. It's not a big deal. You just lay down the policy and you make sure everybody adheres to it. No exceptions. Poor customer service, where it's just like, hey, we sold a product to you, and now we've moved on to the next customer. You know, it's this conquer mentality, conquest. That you've vanquished, you declare victory over the customer because you made them pull out their wallet and pull out some cash or some plastic, and you've taken money from them and given them your product. Hopefully it's a good deal. That's a terrible attitude. The customer service is a profit center. Customer service builds brand loyalty. Customer service results in upsell, cross-sell, sales of more. Good customer service results in brand evangelists, unpaid, passionate, happy people who are your customers and are going out and crusading for you. They're going out there and they're spreading the word about what you do and how great it is and how great your services, hopefully, because if the product's good and the service sucks, they'll find someone that's got good product and good service eventually, and you'll be in the dust. You'll be going down. And the next thing I'm going to talk about is hiring family members. Turnaround specialists, when they go into a company that's just about bankrupt and they're doing so much that's wrong and have done it for such a long time, one of the first things they look for is family members. You got a brother or a son or a daughter-in-law or a mother or an aunt or grandpa working here? I'd like to talk to them for a minute, if you don't mind. How productive are they? Do they have any special favors that others don't have? How long have they been here? What are their goals? Are they reaching their goals? One of the worst things that can happen in a business is to hire family members. Now, I know there are some businesses that are family businesses, but even them that have a legacy and a long history and a proud heritage, you still have to look very closely at family. I have seen this so many times, and I try to be diplomatic and kind and sometimes kind of tight-lipped about it. Sometimes you don't really want to say anything, but you can see what's going on. You can see the family member who's probably a wonderful person, but just not very good at sales. Just not a good bookkeeper. Just not really cut out for the position they're in. And probably the only real reason they've got that job is because they're a family member. That can ruin a company faster than almost anything. Another thing that ties in is somewhat related to that is not keeping good books, having fictional, fantasized profits, thinking that you have a lot of profit on paper and you have a lot of invoices and people that owe you money, but you're really the cash flow is not really coming in. You just theoretically have profit, but technically you don't have any money coming in, and some of these outstanding debts they're not going to pay you for one reason or another. And certain promises where you have projected income, they're not going to pan out, so that's never going to come in. So there's too much fantasy profit, fantasy income, fantasy dreams of way things kind of are, sort of, I hope, I wish, it's the way I like to think about my business. No, you can't think about your business the way you like to think about it. You have to think about your business the way the numbers tell you about it. It's the numbers. It's the real revenue coming in, and then the bills that are going out. You're paying for your own bills and how the company is doing in that sort of financial health regard. And then lastly, the last thing I'm going to mention in this little episode on the biggest small business mistakes that are commonly made is really doing a very poor job in social media. Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, LinkedIn. There may be an account. The business or the CEO may have an account on these platforms, but not much is happening. And if there is some consistent, regular posting, it tends to be automatic, RSS feeds, robotic, just sharing vendor news about certain products you sell and hope that'll generate some interest in those products. And the sharing of the vendor news often has no sentence or two introducing it or anything. It's just a share. So it's very cold, very impersonal. Maybe it's just a YouTube video of a certain brand or product that you sell. It's very well done, but it's just put up there. There's a video. You're not saying, hey, folks, if you've been wondering about blah, 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 found a good video by one of our vendors, and hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions, post a comment. That you gotta humanize. You gotta introduce things and not just plaster these vendor news items constantly. As good as they are, because that can be very, very good content, and it really can showcase a product and get some more sales for it. But it's always nice if there's a human presence. You've got stuff that's being grinding out stuff that's impersonal, cold, aloof, generic, with no real human presence, no face there. It's just working against you. It's counterproductive, and you're not going to have the business success that you richly deserve. Well, thanks for listening. This has been the biggest mistakes that small business make. And if you are guilty of any of these, don't feel shamed or ridiculous. Just learn and get better at it. There are things, I'm a small business person. I do SEO and social media marketing and web content development, digital media. And there are things I need to work on. I'm not perfect. I have deficiencies and Achilles heels, and I'm right in there with you in the same boat. And a lot of these things, I got to think, what differentiates me? Well, my tagline is Google compliant, ROI oriented. So that's one of my big things that I use to separate me from my competitors. But you got to think that we all have to think about all these things and these points, because so easy to fail and it's so hard to succeed. But if you've got the right drive and the right information and good products at a reasonable price and very friendly service and a total orientation to customers and beginning with their needs before you get into yakking about your product. Thanks for listening. This has been Stephen Strait. My nickname is Vaspers the Great, meaning the abrasive, because the things I used to say when I first started blogging in 2004 irritated some web designers because I was stressing usability. So that's where the Vaspers, the G-R-A-T-E, comes from. Look forward to talking to you again. Now, Saturday night, this is Thursday. Friday, I haven't developed what I'm doing for tomorrow, but I'll do something tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio. But Saturday at 10 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hoping to interview a dentist client of mine, and he's going to talk about the new technology that's making dentistry more affordable and pain-free and comfortable and more effective. New products and technology and gadgets and so forth that the dentists are using. It's going to be pretty interesting, actually. So thank you for listening, and when I talk to you later, I hope you're in a great mood. See ya.